Most of you know me, but to make sure, I'm Joshua Munns. I've been coming to this church since I was born. I enjoy coming and attend every week. At the moment, I'm still in Sunday club, as I'm only 14. Soon, I'll be staying through the whole service. So far, we've heard others share their experiences of church. However, we as a group of young people believe that we could all do more to better welcome and involve young people to our church. Today, I want to speak about what we can learn from the Bible and about young people in church. Matthew 18:1-5. In this verse, it says, "At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. He said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.'" In this passage, the disciples asked Jesus, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What do you think the disciples were thinking about when they asked this? I think it was the disciples trying to find out if they were going to be the greatest. However, Jesus replies by taking the smallest and least important of the community, a child, and replies with, "Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I believe this is important because it shows that Jesus isn't only thinking of those who already know about him, although he's thinking of those who have only just begun to know him. Although as we as young people have known Jesus for a while, we still don't know everything and want to know more. I believe this is something as a community we can help with. Also, I think this is powerful because in verse 3, Jesus says, without taking the position of this child, they won't make it into heaven. Jesus takes lowly positions throughout his life, some of which are him becoming human, him washing his disciples' feet, and last but not least, he died for us. Everyone can help with welcoming young people into church. When I thought about this, I thought of dedications. During a dedication, the church promises to help the child grow up in faith. This promise doesn't disappear when they stop being a child. We should always help people in their faith, no matter what their age. Even if someone hasn't been dedicated, we should still help them grow up in the church, child or adult. Some of us at Yaz are at the age where we need to decide if it's our parents taking us to church or if we want to go to church ourselves. As a child, most of us have been taken to church by our parents, and we just have to come to the service every Sunday without much of a decision. This decision now falls to us at Yaz, as some of us are now thinking about university, or whatever comes next. Will we stay going to church every Sunday, or will we decide that it's been our parents taking us and we don't want to come anymore? Some of us of Yaz have said that it's the church family that is the draw to church. Although we've been coming here for a long time and now know everyone, the question is, will newcomers still feel the same draw? One thing that we can do to improve is when someone new comes, we can open up our arms and enjoy them. This way, they're more likely to enjoy the church as much as we do. Questioning why we come here doesn't only happen when we're going to uni. Depending on their situation, it can happen at any point in their life. Although it's just a part of the decision of university, a lot of people move away from home at this point. For me, I've always came to church, and I've always enjoyed it, and I've never questioned coming. One thing that you can do is share your experiences if you've ever questioned coming to church and what it's like for you when you left school. Also, in this passage, it talks about welcoming children. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So, by making this church a child-welcoming church, we're making it a Jesus-welcoming church. I believe this stresses the importance of children and young people at church. My next passage is Romans 12:3-8. In this, it says, "For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with faith of God as distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to give encouragement, then give it generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The title of this passage is Humble Service in the Body of Christ. What does this mean to you? To me, this means that all of us should serve Christ with all of our ability and everything that we have, willingly. In this passage, it talks about us having our own specialities and that we should use them to the best of our abilities, humbly, diligently, and generously. Although we are many, we should be united as one. We all share things like faith and purpose, but most of all, we share the same Holy Spirit acting in all of us. This includes young people. We are as much a part of this church as anyone else who comes here. This does mean that we also need to play our part in the church and find where they fit in and belong. But some of us might not know where we fit in. It could be anything from welcoming or even preaching. But we need to find it, and we need to get some help because we can't do it alone. It's not easy, so please be patient and supportive to us while we find our feet in Christ and we learn what we can do to serve him. My last passage is Deuteronomy 6:5-9. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. One overriding message that I get from Deuteronomy 6:5-9 is that Christianity shouldn't be a closed group of people. It should be open for everyone to see. Another thing that I think everyone should take away from this is that one generation should speak their experiences to another. It's great to hear how different people have grown up in church and in faith, but sometimes we feel that life has changed so much that our experience and interactions with friends are very different to what they used to be. Growing up and going to school in a world where everyone needs to be accepted for what they believe makes it difficult for us to stand out in our Christian faith while keeping the balance for not sticking out as being a weirdo. We ask that you talk to us as adults, listen to what we have to deal with, and support us with advice and prayer. From our discussions at Yaz, we know the stories of the Bible, but maybe not what they mean to us, and how they can be influential in our lives. One of these stories is Jonah and the big fish. What does this story mean? How can it affect us, and what can we do because of it? The story tells us that if we don't follow God, we'll be swallowed up by a big fish and spat out wherever he wants us. Do we need to be frightened of this fish, though? No. But we should take notice of what God is telling us and speak to more experienced Christians about what he might be saying. Another story is the parable of the prodigal son. We know what it means to leave God and to come back. This, however, does not give us permission to. But it tells us that God will always welcome us back if we do happen to stray. So I know what happens if I will go and come back. But what if I don't plan on going? Because I don't want to be the angry, jealous brother either. How can I stay having a great relationship with God while sticking with him? Does this mean that God does not reward us for staying faithful? I don't believe so, but it's a question I keep on asking myself. We as young people might seem scary or that we don't want to talk to other people our age, but we want to be a part of this church family and learn from your experiences without feeling that that's the only way to go about it. You can tell us what it means to you and what you would do in our situation. Finally, we ask as young people that you will open up to us, and we will try not to seem too scary. We'd like you to support us and pray for us and welcome us as a part of the adult church. Help us to grow in faith and find ways of serving him and using the gifts that God has given us. If we all work together as a church family, we'll be increasing the body of Christ and give glory to him in all that we do. Thank you.